Welcome to the Big Success Podcast, cutting-edge conversations on business and personal success, as well as how to level up. Here's your host, number one business coach in the world, Brad Sugars.
This week on the Big Success Podcast, we are joined by the amazing Terry Broussard-Williams. Terry's built a career on a solid reputation as an authentic, courageous, and impactful change agent. Working in government, obviously she started out in the TV space, obviously in the news media, but then moved into lobbyists and doing amazing things, getting the anti-smoking movement moving into smoke-free zones in Louisiana, of all places. Also in Texas doing that. Voted one of the Austin Business Journal's most influential business women in Central Texas. This woman has done some pretty amazing things. She's currently serving as the inaugural instructor for the Social Justice Graduate Certification Program at the Bush School for Center of Nonprofits at Texas A&M. She's doing phenomenal things to change the world. I want to have her teach you how to be amazing at success. Read her book, Find Your Fire. Terry Broussard-Williams is today's Big Success Podcast guest.
And you'll hear on the Big Success Podcast this week, I am here with the amazing Terry. Terry, everybody knows how amazing you are. I want to ask you a question, though, to kick us off. What is success to you?
Oh, my gosh. Success to me is being in a space where, one, and most importantly, you can be yourself. You can do something that you absolutely love and help others along the way. That's how I define success, Brad.
You know, that's really interesting. Being yourself, obviously in the work you do, a lot of that is, I guess, disingenuous areas of the world type thing. How do you stay yourself in that environment?
Oh my gosh. So I have been a lobbyist for the last 20 years. It's actually my second career. I worked in television news before. And no matter where I am, I'm always going to be myself. And for me, it comes back to that mission I have in life. Mm. And it's, I want to give people access to data and information so that they can take it and do good in the world. And so fortunately, I've only been a lobbyist that has lobbied for things that makes the world a better place. So that's my hack to the lobbying world.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you're trying to lobby for something you didn't like, no, can't do that. Tough to be successful. So I want to go way back in your life and start looking at, when did you choose success? Was it as a kid, or was there something that happened, or someone, a mentor? When did you choose to be successful?
I don't know if it was ever a choice for me, right? So many of us are just a product of our environment. Mm. I have an incredible family. My grandparents always loved and supported me. I will say I have some tenacious grandparents. In fact, my grandmother is 94 years old. And for 6 months of last year, of 2021, she actually spent them in hospice. We thought we were going to lose her. Mm. And my mom called last week. She's like, you have to go to your Gmail. She doesn't say email. She says Gmail. It's so cute. And so I go to my Gmail, and it's this email my mother sent of my grandmother at aerobics the night before. So she graduates from hospice and now she's going to aerobic. She can't do it often, but she's going to try to go once a week and at least get 20 minutes in. I mean, so that is my pedigree, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, so my parents always made sure that I had every tool in my toolbox to figure out a path in order to be set up for success.
Do you think maybe they chose success for you? Like, I mean, it sounds like they like that was the expectation, or that was just the world you were born into.
I definitely think that is a fascinating perspective to think about it from. And absolutely, I could argue that they decided that those tools would help make me be successful, you know. And like most overachievers, I'm actually a recovering overachiever. I could not bring home a B, you know. When I was in college, I did poorly in geography. I say I am not Christopher Columbus, nor do I try to be. But, you know, I did not do well in geography. And my mother was like, Terry Renee, she used that middle name, you're taking this class again. Nobody retakes a class in college, but I had to.
Yeah. You know, I think when someone in our life demands success of us, it really does change the way. And that's why having either a great mentor, or great parents, or great grandparents, or someone always helps us with that. I know for me, it was an outside influence that helped me decide I was going to be successful type thing. So it's really interesting. So let's talk about success then. What's your formula for it? What's your way? How does success happen?
Yeah. So I truly, for the longest time, I was one of those people that truly wasn't aware of how they made things happen. You know, I was always in go mode. Right. Just, I knew what the goal was and I was going to get there. But now that I'm older and, you know, just a little bit wiser, you know, I truly break it down for myself so that, you know, there's not a lot of things coming at me and I truly can excel at one thing, you know, but today, how I break that down is I think of that one goal that I have. Usually I give myself one big goal for the year.
Right.
You know, there's no reason to have more than one. Mm-hmm. And underneath that goal, there might be two or three things that might be tied to it. So for example, my big goal for the year is I truly want to put into words something that I'm starting to live. And, you know, you and I had a conversation about this before we got started, but I feel like so many people after the pandemic were saying the world has had this great reset. And it's like, what does that mean? But what does that mean to you?
Yeah.
And so for me, I've been focused on something that I've called the great me set. Mm-hmm. How do I, you know, focus with great intention every day and do the things that allow me to set up the life that I want to live. Mm. And so part of getting that on paper and getting the right words to describe it is, you know, I wanted to do a series of blog articles. That was goal number one. The second goal is I want to do a TEDx talk, and that is happening in October of 2022. And the third thing is that I want to begin to write a book on how I've evolved from a person that was just on a hamster wheel, you know, accomplishments, achievements, all the accolades, to this person who now I don't desire for any of those things. I will get all the accolades that I need inside.
Right.
So just taking that big goal and breaking it down into three things usually sets you up for success.
Yeah. So if let's talk about that transition, because back in the days of TV, success was obviously a different format or a different meaning than as a lobbyist. And now with all of the education you do, have you had to change your thoughts on success or just have the goal shifted?
No, absolutely. You know, going back to how I was raised, I had parents that were incredibly busy, and my mother was a principal, and my father traveled all over Canada, you know, the Gulf of Mexico, you name it, he was somewhere. But they always showed up for an award ceremony at school. They always showed up for a dance recital. And those are moments that were so important to me, but they also became valuable moments, right? There, it was almost this currency that allowed me to see my parents. And that sounds so awful, but I think once you begin to understand some of those things, you can like, you know, begin to untangle your own needs and desires.
Yeah.
So for the longest time, I knew people that I love would show up if I was named Austin under 40 or the most influential woman in Central Texas. I don't need any of that. In fact, none of those things made me happy. I didn't want to have to worry about my hair and a dress and a speech, right? So when I returned to that place of me just doing what fills my cup and my tank and showing up as myself, like that is all that I need to truly feel fulfilled.
Yeah. It's amazing when we transition our success from what we think it should be to what we actually want. And I know even with my kids, having five kids, it's like trying to teach them life. It's like, you know, you got to make your own choices. And I know that as a child, it's like about what I want for them. And then they get into the, well, what do my friends think? And then eventually it's like, oh, I want you to think for yourself. And I know, you know, and she'll blush if I say this. I know I've got my eldest right through to that stage of starting to think for herself. And well, the rest are still a little young on that. So let's flip it over. During your career, you've had some not successes. How do you learn from failure? How does failure teach success? How do mistakes teach us to be more successful?
Yes, I feel like I'm a person who's had a very charmed life. And so failure might be a moment in a movement that I was building, but it wasn't the whole movement, right? Yeah. You know, so for example, in 2005, I was lobbying in Louisiana, and we were working to pass the Louisiana Smoke-Free Air Act, making all restaurants smoke-free. But that was during a time of Hurricane Katrina. And legislators, quite frankly, they just wanted to get the state's budget back on track.
Yeah.
They wanted to get New Orleans rebuilt. They were not worried about smoking in restaurants. But that was my job. That was my goal. And so I began that legislative session educating the lawmakers on the why we should rebuild New Orleans as the healthiest city in America and a world-class city for conferences. And that meant no smoking in public places. And along the way, you know, there were legislators who would put what we call an amendment on the legislation to water it down, saying, well, you could smoke in a designated section.
Yeah.
And, you know, so during that very long process, that didn't move forward, you know, in one bill hearing, which is a part of the legislative process. And so that day, it did feel like a failure. Mm. But I had to say, you know, I have the fortitude to never give up. And I know there's a way. I just have to find a way.
Yeah.
And so I flipped that into asking myself the question of what might that way look like? Mm. How might I get there? And that was the fuel I needed to find my fire and actually pass the legislation as intended. So in 2006, all restaurants and public places in Louisiana, for the most part, bars were a separate entity. But for the most part, they all went smoke-free.
I love that you threw that in there. We're going to get to your book in just a moment. You're on the Big Success Podcast with Terry Broussard-Williams. We're going to be back in just a moment and talking about finding your fire.
Without the proper methodologies and strategies, building a wealthy life can be difficult. If you're struggling with building wealth yourself, this is the time to join Brad Sugar's 30X Wealth Program. The 30 videos in this program will help you learn how to make your money work for you rather than you working for it. Create the life of your dreams.
And you're back on the Big Success Podcast. I'm Brad Sugars, your host. We're joined today by Terry Broussard-Williams. Terry, your book has changed a lot of people's lives dramatically. How do you succeed at finding your fire?
Oh, wow. It's a different story every day. Today, we're doing this pretty early on the West Coast. I'm hoping to get some coffee after this because I haven't had any coffee. That's going to be the fuel I need today. But, you know, For me, I returned to this place of just wanting to do good in the world and leaving it, you know, better than I found it. And so for me, when I find a cause that I care about, or I help someone identify their cause and begin to build a movement for social good, that's how I find my fire and fuel my soul, because it gives me the energy I need to get going.
Yeah. So how do I find my fire then? When you're helping people find their fire, what's the process to do that? What do they got to go through? How do they get to that point?
Yeah, I say it's easy peasy. I want people to think of four steps, and they're all C's, Joey. You know, it's like the coach and action coach. They're all four C's to make it easy. But the first is you have to know your cause. And once you know that why, then you can begin to build a plan and take action. Mm-hmm. And then after you've determined that cause and you've really identified what it is that you want to do, then you have to build a collective, finding the people who will be a part of your team to make it happen. They could be an advisory board. They can be your friends that you can text and they just, you know, hype you up on that text message. But you need a collective of people that will be honest with you and will help you think through this movement that you want to do. Either a movement in the world or a movement inside of yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes the biggest movement we'll ever cultivate is one that's inside of us. Then next, you have to communicate it. You know, I've been spending more time alone and focusing on my health and skipping happy hours with friends, but I had to share that with my friends and communicate, hey, you guys, I am cultivating a movement within me. This is my year to eat healthy, to work out more, you know, to drink less, drink more water. So call me. If you want to have a walk around the lake, a little walk talk, don't call me to party all night or go to happy hour, right? Or if you're creating a movement for social good, you have to let people know that too. So it's saying, you know, I'm beginning a canned drive at my local school to help families in need post-pandemic. Right. You communicate it and people know it. And then last, you have to work to get your hands dirty and be the change that you want to see. So building no less than a three-step plan, you know, things really take shape if we have three or more things that we can focus on. But having a plan that will allow you to take those first three steps for change surely will have you off the move. And I call that the fire starter formula.
Very nice. Now, I love the formula. And I do thought one of the biggest things, I know when you spoke for us here in Vegas, one of the biggest things that I took away is the first three steps, because it's like, you're then in momentum. You're not, you're moving, you're in direction, that sort of thing. So that brings me to change then. One of the subjects that you teach brilliantly is change. How do I succeed at change? Not just a little bit of change, but actual real change in life or in the world.
I mean, we have to start by saying it's not always easy. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we romanticize about it and we glorify it. You know, we have this idea of we're going to wave a magic wand and things are going to happen. But some change can happen overnight, right? Sometimes you can actually just have a conversation with someone and change a policy within mm-hmm. your workplace, or change the meeting time for an employee resource group. That can have a really big change. You know, if the employee yeah. resource group is meeting at 5 or 6 at night and everyone is out the building or people are going to get their kids, by changing that time, you're truly impacting your workplace. But if you want to do something like, you know, passing a law, sometimes you could do it in a year. But sometimes it takes generations.
Yeah.
You know, I think back to even some of the work that Martin Luther King Jr. was doing in, you know, August of 1963. He was advocating for the workplace to be, you know, be more equal and for everyone to feel like they were in a place of belonging. We're still doing this work now, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're calling it DE&I. Now we've added the belonging piece. So that change takes forever. But truly, if you stick to those four steps of a fire starter formula, you will put yourself in a position of power where you can begin to have a conversation and build momentum.
Yeah. Just let's go back to that equality thing. As a father of four daughters, I find this debate is something I have often. Even just this week, the WNBA team here in Vegas had to win and took the championship sort of thing. And it's like,
yes,
it's amazing to see what happens. But I still find that even as a, you know, as a 50-year-old man, I still need to lead that fight and that sort of thing. It's a real interesting one. And I just want to congratulate you on being groundbreaking, because you represent women in a way that I want my daughters to see what you do. And it's one of the reasons I wanted you on my podcast is for that. So thank you. So that brings me to influence. Okay. One of the subjects that you're a master of is influence. Okay. You've influenced massive change. You've influenced very high level people, but you've also influenced yourself. So what is the success factor, or how do you actually create success at influence?
I feel like you have to break it down. Sometimes we get so caught up in wanting to be a leader and being seen like in the spotlight. And if you don't understand the difference between leadership and ego, like you cannot begin to influence anything, mm-hmm. you know? And then you have to also dig a little deeper and understand that sometimes you're going to influence from the front of the house, right? Think about when you walk into the restaurant and there is a hostess that's greeting you and she's walking you to the table. She is influencing that first, you know, mm-hmm. first thought you have about the restaurant, that first impression. But then back of the house, there are the servers and the cooks, and they're going to give you the little details so that when you walk out, you know what that experience is. And hopefully it's a good one. It's the same thing with influence. Sometimes you're going to be leading from the front and you're going to tell people, you know, I am here to ask you to create change. Mm. I am here to ask you to come along with me and join me in this movement for social good. Other times you're going to lead from the back of the house and you're just going to set up the problem for them. And it's going to be like, did you know that the speed limit in this neighborhood is 65 miles an hour on this road and kids are getting run over? That sounds really dramatic, but let's be dramatic.
Yeah.
And kids are getting run over. Well, if you are a person that believes it needs to be changed, you're going to say, well, what are we going to do about it? And so by just giving someone that nugget, you can light a fire in them.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to influence for myself, some days I just have to have a talk with myself. And it's like, girl, you got to That's where I am this week, you know? But I set up systems for myself to hold myself accountable. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mentioned we're recording this in September of 2022. I'm doing a TED Talk in October of 2022. So an hour before this meeting, I had a conversation with my coach who was telling me to kick it into high gear. Mm-hmm. And he gave me some homework for the week. And so, you know, putting yourself around people that can help you transform and allow you to visualize success is how you can influence yourself and sometimes get out of your own way.
Yeah. Fantastic. So let's go to the big side of influence in your world, lobbying government. How do you succeed at lobbying of such massive organizations, whether it's a big corporation or a government? How do you, like, that's a lot of people to influence.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, a lot of times you're starting with the organization that you're representing. In my case, I've always worked at the organization that I was representing. So you have to influence internally, right? Because the organization's position on a policy issue might not be what's best for our community or what's best to actually pass the law or what's best to get your foot in the door if you're starting something new. So you'll have to help craft that and shape it within your own organization. But then you have to go out and talk about it to others. And so for me, I find, and it's where we started this conversation, when I am myself, you know, when I begin a conversation with data about a problem that needs to be solved and painting a picture of the people that it is either hindering or benefiting, and then talking about how together we can create a change, then, you know, some of the most toughest people in this country will become gentle giants that want to help. And let's be frank, a smile can get you a long way, right, Ben?
Well, I love that idea. I love it. Gang, you're on the Big Success Podcast. I'm Brad Sugars. We're with Terry Broussard-Williams. She is helping us find our fire. We'll be back in just a moment, and we'll talk about leveling up your success.
Terry Broussard-Williams has built her career on a solid reputation as an authentic, courageous, and impactful change agent. Throughout her journey as an award-winning nonprofit executive, lobbyist, and public speaker, Terry has transformed public and community service into a professional art form, positively impacting the lives of millions of people.
You're back on the Big Success Podcast. I'm Brad Sugars, and we are about to look at leveling up. Terry, good is good. Great is great. It's been said that good is the enemy of great. You don't seem to tackle the little problems. You level up. What's the difference between, you know, going for the good things and going for great? How do you find that you do that?
You know, you definitely have to tackle them one by one. It's like that saying, you eat an elephant one bite at a time, right? Yep. So when you're looking to create a movement for social good, or and it could even be something, you know, closer to home, something within your life, you have to look at that big goal and then decide, am I going to have small impact today or great impact today? You know, just because you are taking a small bite out of the elephant today doesn't mean that you could take a big one next time. And so, you know, for me, I'll give you an example of work I did in Texas. And we were looking to make the entire state of Texas smoke-free. And there wasn't a desire or will within the legislative body. We were trying to get legislation set on a Senate committee, because that's the first step that we needed to take at that moment to begin the legislative process. And they would not put it on the agenda. Like, what? So you can't get on the agenda, then you can't begin the process. Yeah. So instead of returning to that capital year after year, I said, there's a smaller way to bite that elephant.
Yeah.
And decided to tackle it city by city. So going to the city of Dallas and passing a law there, going to the city of Fort Worth and passing a law there, going to the city of San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And those little pockets were big cities in Texas.
Yeah.
And then you begin to have a great mass of the population covered by the same exact law that you were trying to get done at a state level.
Wonderful. Wonderful theory. I love it. I love it. So let's talk about dreaming big then. Were you always a big dreamer, or is it something that you had to learn? And how can someone learn to dream big, I guess?
Oh my gosh, it's so funny that you asked that, because oftentimes I will find myself in a situation where I didn't know it was a big stage, but I love was that. There, you know? And so I think it's just, I do what I feel is right always and what I feel called to do. And then it just sort of works out. And so by not being intimidated by anything, and, you know, not being afraid to fail. I am so not afraid to fail. If I get so close to a big failure, it forces me to become more innovative and generative. And I usually land on my two feet upright.
the cat thing, but, yes.
Yes, absolutely. But by taking away intimidation, by taking away fear, by not being hard on myself and having expectations, usually it allows me to be a big dreamer, you know? So this will seem really crazy, but I began to look on, like, researching for organizations that taught social impact. And so I was just Googling, like, social impact. Then I Googled Center for Social Impact. And voila, this internet ad appeared. And it was like, you can apply to go to school for, you know, social impact at the Center for Social Impact Strategies. And I was like, that sounds really cool and really good. And so I just applied. And, you know, I looked at the courses. I did my homework. But that was about it. I find myself at the University of Pennsylvania, you know, as a student, ended up, you know, a teaching fellow, and just went to school to get my master's there. And every day I just, you know, challenge myself to think differently, challenge myself to engage with my classmates. And I ended up winning the Excellence in Social Impact Strategy on graduation day. And I had the honor of being our commencement speaker, but I never set foot on that campus that day or typing on my keyboard by saying, I want it to go to an Ivy League and I want it to be the commencement speaker.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to let your heart lead you along the way.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. All right. So let's go. I want to do a quick fire round. We finish off everything with your thoughts on success. How do you succeed at goals?
Oh, you just tackle and just start doing them. You won't accomplish the goal if you don't get started. Yeah. And then along the way, take a TV timeout, take time by yourself to actually look at what was behind that you accomplished, mm-hmm. and then what needs to happen, but truly celebrating where you are at every moment.
Okay. Let's flip it over. How do you succeed at fun and vacations? How do you succeed in that side of it?
I kind of suck at it.
You're learning, or
I am. So I am forcing myself to truly, you know, cultivate those me set moments. So last year for my birthday, I went on my first solo vacation, S-O-L-O, but I call it a soulcation. So I started off inviting friends to do a little meditation with me over Zoom. And then I had a one-on-one session with the person that led the meditation, and we did some intention setting and I did a little writing. And then the rest of the time, I was alone. Every meal I had alone, I slept late, I saw a beach, I ate really well. And that was fuel for my soul. So I'm finding myself wanting more vacations where less is best. I don't want to do sightseeing because I can fit in sightseeing when I'm on a work trip and have built in an extra day, but those vacations are there for restoration.
Very and nice. For sleep and eating. I love this. I can't wait till I see the new Me Set book. That's got to be the new book. I'm ready
for it.
Maybe
like a year or two, but in some way.
Okay, so how do you succeed at self-development?
Oh, you have to learn, be curious, and ask questions. There is no human that I will not meet what I won't learn something from them.
Very nice.
And digging deep, no matter what it is, just dig deep.
Very nice. How do you succeed at money, wealth, making money? How do you succeed at that?
You have to do the thing that you love. and it will come. You know, today I get paid so much more for the work that I did, which is exactly the same 3 years ago. But I decided that I wanted to do it from a place of authenticity and a place where it would have greatest impact for others. And that landed me at the world's second largest corporation.
How do you succeed at relationships, work relationships, family, friends? How do you succeed at relationships? What's your key?
Showing up as yourself. That's very important, and letting people know what you need. So if you need quiet, tell them I might not be so loud today. I might not be super talkative because I need a little quiet today. That way they don't think you're switching it up on them, right?
I'm not sure that your friends would cope with a quiet Terry. I'm not sure that would be a thing.
You asked that. And you know, when you need someone to fill your tank and maybe get you started again, you call that friend. Hey, like, I'm looking for you because I need your energy. And I call some friends sometimes, but I just need a pause. My friend Natalie, she knows if I'm texting her, it's because I need her to help me get centered. Just telling people what you need and being honest. And we fracture relationships or we tarnish trust when we don't state our intentions and what we need. Mm-hmm.
I love it. And final one, how do you succeed at health?
Oh, I have done a 360 when it comes to health, Brad. So, you know, the Terry of 2012 on that hamster wheel, working all the time, not really eating, having wine every night. That was the way I was whining and winding down. I was 170 pounds and I'm only 5'2". You know, today I'm like at 115, and that is the right weight for my height and my frame. And I'm eating plant-based. I am working out with a trainer twice a week, only on strength training, like not even doing cardio because cardio isn't good for me. I don't enjoy it too. So that's not doing things we don't enjoy, right? And I am sleeping and I'm saying no to everything that I don't want to do.
Yeah.
Because that makes me unhappy, or I was having this anxious energy that I couldn't even identify, but it's because I didn't want to do it. And my friends that are filled with chaos all the time, I just can't, you know, we are not hanging out today, girlfriend, because I need to remain centered. And so I find myself in a place where I am thriving in ways that I didn't anticipate it. That I would have anticipated, but it's because I'm honoring myself first and honoring my time.
Final question. What's the best quote you've ever heard on success, or the best advice you ever got about how to be successful?
Oh, it is. And I might get it wrong, but it goes something like, you don't have to light yourself on fire to keep others warm. Right? So in a workplace, if everyone else, you know, is on that hamster wheel because it's the end of the quarter and money has to come in, or it's the end of the legislative session and you have to pass that bill because everyone else is on fire, you don't have to light yourself on fire to make them feel like what they're doing is right.
Yeah.
And that you are part of that chaos. You can be that calm and slow it down to help people focus on what really needs to happen and align the strategy and where they need to go. And I know you guys do that very well at Action Coach, but return to where you need to be and be cool, calm, and collective like they taught us. And you will be the most successful person in the room.
Terry, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your knowledge. Thank you for your time. We love it. We appreciate it. Gang, this is the Big Success Podcast. I'm Brad Sugars. We'll see you again next week. And that's the Big Success Podcast for today. Hopefully you took a lot of notes. Hopefully you learned a bunch. And hopefully you're going to take action on it. Big Success, BS, Brad Sugars. That's right. Lean into it. Take action. Check all the show notes. Make sure you click the links and subscribe. Hit that subscribe button right now. Read a bunch, learn a bunch, check out everything from our guests today. This is me, Brad Sugars, saying to you, let's keep going for some big success. And I'll see you on the next episode of this podcast.
You've been listening to the Big Success Podcast with the number one business coach in the world, Brad Sugars. To learn more about how to achieve business and personal success, as well as how to level up or listen to past episodes, visit www.bradsugars.com.